I can bring you in warm, or I can bring you in cold. I like those odds.
Hey everyone, you're listening to the Mandalorian Podcast. I'm Drew.
I'm Jeremiah.
And I'm Andrew.
And today you are listening to Episode 5, Practical. And this is Episode 5 of the Gallery of Star Wars Galaxy, the Mandalorian series on Disney Plus. And welcome to the Mandalorian Podcast.
Yeah, and this was a fun episode to watch.
Yeah, it was really cool. I really enjoyed it. I promised myself I wasn't going to say this, but...
Oh, you're going to do it again?
Uh-oh.
Just in case y'all don't know what you're listening to, we are going over this, what's it called?
Docuseries.
Docuseries of The Mandalorian, and we're just gonna not go by scene by scene like we normally do in The Mandalorian Podcast and other platforms that we have out there.
We're gonna go frame by frame.
We're gonna go frame by frame
in excruciating detail.
Yes.
So this will be a 12-hour podcast.
Heck yes. Yeah.
And we have nothing else to do. No, I'm just kidding. But anyways, so yeah. Sit back, relax, enjoy the episode. Our lives have been kind of crazy, so we're sorry that it's a day late, but it's not a dollar short, so make sure you take listen to it.
I enjoyed that one, actually. That was good.
You're welcome. And I'm here all night.
For everyone that was actually wondering, we're not going to go frame by frame. We're just going to talk about the episode. We're just going to start a discussion and see what happens. We're going to talk about the episode, so.
Yeah.
Before we get into this, I purchased my own child today, and
you bought that thing.
I did buy it, and I love it, and it's staring right at me. It's kind of creepy, but
see, now that is why, and this is, you know what, spoilers or whatever, but this kind of goes into the practicality thing that of the episode, of the actual topic of the episode.
Sure,
but sure. I have never been able to like buy one plushies? Of those. Like, well, not plushies, but like one for the child specifically, because like as much as he's cute, owning one would be really creepy for so many reasons.
Because he's not yours to own.
No, but you just wake up. You just wake up and you look at him and you're like, ah. Like in the middle of the night, dude, that, I don't know. Oh. He's super cute, but I've never found one that's like remotely life-size that I'm like, you know what? I would buy that.
Yeah. He is life-size to the replica of. So if you guys don't know what I'm talking about, I purchased the child. It's the plushie toy that you can probably, it's been kind of hard to find. I'm kind of surprised I found one, but then I found like a lot of them today. But yeah, they're kind of hard to find, but he's like the child, the baby Yoda, inside of the container is supposed to look like, but it's like he's not covered, so you can literally touch him, and yeah, so it's like halfway in a box, not really. So it's kind of cool because I'm not going to take him out, obviously, because if it's in a box for me, I don't remove it from that box unless it's like a helmet or something like that. So he's like in the box and it's like, but I can still touch him, which is kind of cool. But yeah, his eyes are huge and it's kind of creepy.
Yeah.
My wife says like she's not going to come in this room because she knows she's going to come in and it's going to be walking around. And I was like, yeah, that's fair. He's probably going to ride the tauntaun with the monkey lizard on his shoulder. It's going to be kind
of. Don't get me wrong. As a concept, it's a great idea. Like, of course, let's make some merch. Get your huggable child plushies out there.
For real.
For all of the kids to love on, but like at the same time,
He's squishy too. His head like is squishy.
See, that's no. Just leave him alone. Just let him be adorable and powerful.
My brother-in-law wanted to punch him. My brother-in-law wanted to punch him when I grabbed him off the shelf, and I was like, "No, don't." You know what happened last time someone punched him? And then you started.
They got messed up.
They got messed up. Anyway, this has nothing to do with the episode at all, but yeah. If you want to see a video of the child, go check out our Instagram, because I just did an Instagram story of the studio and the child's in the corner staring at you. It's pretty cool. So
yeah, go check it out at Empire Radio Podcast.
Yes.
Cool. Same thing on Facebook, by the way.
Yep.
Same exact thing. All right. Yeah. So let's dive into this practical episode, this practical day, shall we?
Yeah.
No?
So,
sorry, Andrew.
What I didn't realize was that Quill's human actor
was a girl.
Was a girl. A
yeah,
tiny
me
one.
Either.
And like, why does that matter?
It doesn't. It just didn't. It was just a surprise. Like I thought it was I don't know.
Did you think like it was a voice actor?
It wasn't a voice actor because I know the Nick Nolte, is that his name?
Yeah.
He's like a
is
big
he pretty
dude.
Tall? Oh.
So like I don't know. For some reason I kind of thought that maybe
he was fake.
Yeah, that maybe it wasn't
know.
A person.
So
in him.
Yeah.
I guess I don't know.
I never
well, he has to walk around and stuff. Like there were scenes where he was like walking around and interacting with things.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I guess it didn't really cross my mind to think who was on the inside. And so when it was a
it's
tiny
always about
woman,
what's in the inside.
I was like, oh, okay. Interesting. Because I never even heard of that actress before.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, very, very few times do you actually hear about the people behind the actual creatures, you know? They're just like the unsung heroes of Hollywood productions.
Yeah, it's really sad too, because like, okay, so for instance, I never knew who Nick Nolte, like, I've never looked him up and seen what he looks like. Probably seen him in other things and just never realized it. Because I'm horrible with names, if you guys don't even know. That's why, like, Andrew is part of this, because we share the same name and I don't have to remember his name, you know? Kind of thing. So for me, it's like, I just thought it was him. I never knew if he was short and, you know, I don't know. I never even thought about it. And I don't know, I'm kind of sad that we didn't know this prior, because we're giving so much credit to him, but he's just a voice actor at this point. You know what I mean? Like,
but also, I guess what added to it was that Quill, even though he's an Ugnaught, they still made his face similar to Nick Nolte's face.
Like, yeah.
Because I'm looking at some pictures of him now. It's like, obviously, it's not a one-to-one comparison, but...
I don't know what this guy looks like, so I'm going to look up a picture.
You'd recognize him if you saw him. But he kind of has a similar, like, persona as Quill.
Okay, you know what's funny?
What?
I just watched the movie Angel Has Fallen, Gerard Butler. It's the third in the Has Fallen series or whatever. I don't know what the actual, like, trilogy is called, but super good movie if you're into, like, military dude shooting things, blowing stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a great movie. But his dad is Nick. It's Nick Nolte.
Gerard Butler's dad is
in the movie. Actually, sorry, spoilers.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
Yeah. No, his dad. So he goes. So again, spoilers. He, you know, he's framed and he goes out into the middle of the woods and he finds his dad. And you know what's funny?
It's when the same I was exact watching character.
That, it's actually really funny because when I was watching that, we watched it last night, and I was like, man, his voice sounds so familiar.
Yeah, yeah.
And I couldn't place it. And then when I was watching the episode, I went, wait, Quill's voice sounds so familiar. And never placed the two together. That's so funny.
And it's kind of funny because Quill and the character in Angel Has Fallen are both like living on their own in the middle of nowhere. And I was just kind of like, oh, okay.
Kind of same thing.
Yeah.
I've never seen that movie. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
did you see the first two?
Of what? What is the Angel of Fallen? What series is that?
Well, there's White House. Well, no. Olympus has fallen. Then okay, London
that was actually
has
funny
fallen.
That you say that because White House Down and Olympus Has Fallen are like
the same movie,
kind of the same movie. But I like
one
Olympus
has a little
fallen.
More comedic.
Yeah, I like yeah. Olympus Has Fallen more. But
so
you got
is
Olympus
it
Has
like
Fallen.
A trilogy?
Yeah. Yeah.
So Gerard, it's Gerard it. Butler. He's a Secret Service guy. He's kind of like the Mandalorian in a few different ways. He's just BA. He's like a gunslinger.
Mm.
The and Mandalorian.
Jack, a little bit of Jack Bauer in there too.
Oh yeah. It's
like
good.
A John Wick kind of film?
Kind of, but like John Wick is, you know, it's like the whole assassin vibe and he's just BA in like the assassin way where this guy he's always protecting someone. You know, it's like he's a Secret Service agent, so it's similar but it's got a completely different feel. Like the first movie is about the White House being attacked. The second movie he and the president are in London and some stuff happens there. And then this third one, the president directly gets attacked. And again, spoilers, he gets framed for it.
Is it a funny kind of movie? Or?
No.
No. I mean, there's some comedic moments, especially between him
and
his dad.
It's not like a funny movie or anything.
No.
No, heck no. I mean, people are getting blown up and shot and...
Oh, okay.
There's, you know,
how have I not heard of this movie?
Dude, go.
Angel Has Fallen is a Netflix one now, isn't it?
Yeah, it's on Netflix.
But was it made for by Netflix?
No. It was in theaters.
Oh, because I never even knew it was in theaters. Like,
yeah,
I just watched it because I saw it on Netflix.
Well, I'll go check it out.
But anyway, Mandalorian.
Yeah, I was gonna say now that everyone listening to this is scratching their heads, going, "How did we?" How did we get to this point? Back to the actual episode of the Disney Gallery.
Yeah.
That's
so.
Yeah. Practical.
All right.
I feel like we're all mainly going to just talk about the Yoda stuff. Baby Yoda. No,
well, I'm going to not talk about the child right away.
Not necessarily.
I want to. Okay, go ahead.
I've got a few. I took some notes.
All right, go ahead.
Before you get into the notes, I want to talk about the first thing we see with the guy with the four or six eyeballs real quick and how I did not realize that was a real dude, like a real mask.
Oh,
you guys see that?
I missed that.
Right,
well,
it was like
it was
right
four
right.
eyes, I think.
Was it four eyes or six?
It was four.
Okay. Either way, it was so cool. I just want to say that. It was pretty dope.
Okay.
All right, go ahead, Andrew. Take us into...
Okay.
The notes.
So I only have three notes, but don't do that.
Okay.
But I'll start with just giving kind of my overall thoughts about the episode. And those were the thoughts are that I loved it. It felt very connected in some ways to the last episode on the technology.
Mm-hmm.
Just because those are, you know, the practical aspects, the puppeteering and the masks, you know, and the various other things that they talked about, it's all visual effects, but it's not, you know, digital. And I love that they took time to focus on this because even though Jeremiah thinks half of it is trash, the practicalness of A New Hope is the reason why it blew so many people away and why it was such a phenomenon when it first came out. Because like correct. That, you know, the opening scene, you've got the Tantive IV and then the Star Destroyer and it just sweeps overhead. You know, it looks real because it is, it's a miniature, you know, and there's something to be said about miniatures because, or puppets,
Because they're mini?
No, there's something to be said about them because they ground you in reality so much more than VFX. Like good VFX can be very deceiving especially now, where like we're getting to the point where like completely CG people are getting really convincing. I actually watched something today. Jeremiah, I don't know if you saw it, the VFX artist video from today.
I have not watched it yet.
So there's a scene where they talk about something from the new Terminator, the most recent Terminator movie. And there's and I haven't seen it, but there's a spot where like you've got two of the characters from the first two Terminator movies, and they're represented exactly the way they were in Terminator 2. Which is crazy because both of them have aged, you know, like, yeah. But the CG is so good. Like it actually, normally with people, like we've talked about with Leia and with Tarkin,
yeah. How
in Rogue One, you know, you can kind of tell, but with these two models, it was so difficult for me to tell that they were actually CG. So like we're getting there, all that to say we're getting there, but there's something about,
even
like
that. That Will Smith movie where he played his younger self.
Right.
Like that. I don't know if you guys seen it. I don't remember the name of it. I just watched it.
Gemini Man?
Yeah. Oh, my Lord. I could not tell. It's so good. I mean, that man does age pretty well. Let's be straight.
Oh, like Will heck Smith
is sexy as heck. But yeah, I don't. It's just.
I mean, I don't disagree.
It's just crazy how good the technology and like all that deepfake stuff. Like.
Oh, yeah. But then the crazy thing is that it's still, there's still something more real about a miniature or a puppet or like an animatronic. I mean, if the animatronics are done well, you know, like I knew, like obviously, you know that Quill's not real, but then at the same time, you're watching it and you're like, man, this looks like it could actually exist on another planet. And, you know, they were talking about Werner Herzog with the puppet of the child and how there were so many times when he was actually filming with it that he completely lost, you know, the mindset that it was fake. And he started directing the puppet. And so much so that you know, he even told them like you don't need to use the CG version of this character. You need to stick with the puppet. And then how he ended up being right and how when they did even when they had to have a CG model of the child, you know, Jon Favreau mentions like you have to limit it to what an actual puppet can do. You can't make it do stuff like we want it to look as much like the puppet as it possibly can.
Yeah.
Which is saying a lot.
Well, because anytime they use CG over top of it, it was everything that the puppet could still do. So it didn't look out of place.
So
which is a really creative way to do it.
Yeah. And I mean, and again, I'm not going to dive right into the child right away, but like, you know, there were times that I was watching that puppet and like we've all seen The Mandalorian, but like in some of the behind the scenes shots, like some of the people would be talking off screen and then it would look at them. And for a split second, you're like, did that thing actually just read, you know, like, was there a real reaction there? You know?
Yeah.
But anyways, all this to say, I love practical effects. The reason why C-3PO and R2-D2 have held up and have aged extremely well. You can go back and watch A New Hope right now. You know, we're talking the 70s.
Yeah.
And they still look phenomenal. And the reason for that is practical effects. But
and because they're droids and they don't age.
Well, that's fair. You got to keep those oil baths up, man.
True. Yeah, when they first landed in Tatooine, before their oil baths.
Ooh. They were looking rough.
They're a little rough, and that might be why Jeremiah hates that part of it. You know,
maybe
it's probably because of oil baths. It's probably the oil baths.
No, that's not it.
Should be it.
So, first note that I had was the stop motion blurg that they used in episode 2. So they had there was a little segment where they were talking about Jon Favreau was like, I wonder if we can get stop motion involved, because I mean that's like the original trilogy thing. The Tauntauns were stop motion, the AT-ATs were stop motion, you know, pretty much anything that they didn't have the budget or the technology to animate without someone in a costume, it was all, you know, stop motion. And then there's a moment where Dave Filoni was like, you know, originally I was like, maybe we shouldn't because it's going to look too dated. But it's funny, when they showed the shot, I didn't even realize that the Blurg was stop motion.
Me neither.
But like, I was like, man, what my mind didn't do was go, that's CG.
Right.
True. When I watched that, it's actually interesting that my mind had the reaction, because I watched it and I never once thought that's CG. I never once thought, oh, that's real. That's a real, they somehow found a Blurg and filmed it. But I never went, oh, that's a CG Blurg, you know? And so that, in my opinion, for a filmmaker is a win. So I thought that was really cool. I really like Jon Favreau's Frank Lloyd Wright house analogy, where he was talking about how when they had what George had created, it's like you know, purchasing a house made by Frank Lloyd Wright, where like you don't just go blow out a wall in one of those houses because of his mastery of architecture. Like, you don't just go change it. You can change the light fixtures, you can change the piping, you can change some of the small details, but you don't mess with the structure of what it is. And he was talking about how with Star Wars, the universe, there are things you don't touch. There are structures within the universe that you can't touch. And there are, you know, things like practicality, the practical effects and stuff like that, that serve as anchor points. But then there's always so much more fun. There's so much fun that you still can have, which is why we have this perfect combination in The Mandalorian of like this new story. And it's a really good story. But then you see the cantina, and you know, you've got all of these callbacks in IG-11, and the stormtroopers and all these things to the original framework that George created, which I thought was cool. And then the third thing was the little bit about the blasters.
World War II.
I thought that was really cool.
And did you know really that cool before?
Oh, yeah. But it was really cool to see that the props master was like, in kind of in homage to the original trilogy, I did the same thing. Like, I did my research and I went out and found World War II guns, and that's what we did the same thing instead of, and it's actually funny. There was something about the weapons in the sequel trilogy that felt so fake to me when I was looking at them. Like the resistance, like main blaster rifle.
It's because the white.
It was more than that, because like I played Star Wars Battlefront for a brief while, and like, you know, obviously the resistance weapons are in there, and even looking at like, I guess, a more weathered version, I'm like, that just doesn't look like Star Wars to me. It looks like something, it like actually looks like something more from like Star Trek or another sci-fi kind of property.
Scary. But yeah.
But it did. And I think the reason for that, after I watched this episode, I think I made that connection. I think the reason for that is because it doesn't look like they pulled from the same material.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in The Mandalorian, like, I actually had, when I had my dual monitor display at work, my background was a shot from episode one where, like, it's a close-up of the Mandalorian. He has his gun up, and it was when he was hiding behind one of the columns when they were in the firefight with IG-11. And it's a high-def picture, and one of the things that's really present in the photo is his pistol. And every time I looked at that pistol, like, it looked real to me. Whereas, like, I don't really like Rey's blaster in any of the sequel films. It just doesn't look like Star Wars to me. And I think
boxy or what?
I don't know. It just doesn't. It looks like it's such a different design that it just doesn't look. It doesn't have that feel to it. Whereas, you know, you're watching this guy talk about how he pulled the World War II weapon elements into it, and I looked at all of his designs and went, that's Star Wars. That's what Star Wars weapons look like. So I don't know. Anyways, I'm not going to go on a rant about the sequel trilogy, but that was my third note. And then one final thing is that I loved that they used a miniature of the Razor Crest and did the same camera, some of the same camera movements that they did in the original trilogy to get footage of the ship flying through space.
Yeah, and I think we have seen part of that before. That whole discussion of like the if you make a model, you can take it home type of thing. We heard that before, like last, like at like Star Wars Celebration last year when they had the panel. Like we, so we heard some of this stuff before about the Razor Crest, which, but they kind of. So that was a kind of little review, but it's so funny that Jon Favreau was like, I have that as a paperweight on my desk now. Like, it's kind of funny.
Yeah. Yeah, I because he talked about that at Celebration, but he kind of mentioned it again in this, how he's like, the way to get a statue of your stuff is to just do it again, or like to make a miniature of it and to bring it home. It was pretty funny. But yeah, Jeremiah, did you know that in the original trilogy that they used those weapons from like World War II and they just like kind of fixed them up, or did you not know that?
I think I remember hearing something about it. Like at my first watch this episode, like it didn't dawn on me that that's what they did before. But as I've thought about it, like I think I have heard them say that they used World War II weapons and just modded them.
Yeah, I knew that. I forgot though that, because I think they mentioned it in one of those like documentary things that you can buy, or that like was after one of like the director cuts or something. Of the, it's like one of the DVD packs. I think they mentioned that, and I forgot that they rented those weapons.
Mm-hmm. I thought that was I'd forgotten that they rented them. I knew that they used World War II weapons, but I forgot that they had rented them.
Yeah, I knew that they used World War II weapons, but I did not. I forgot that they rented them, and that's why they could only mod them. They modded them so that when they're done using them, they could take it apart and it would look the same, which is really cool. Right. And I wonder after episode 4 if they just bought them.
I don't know. I wonder how expensive they would be if you were to find the actual World War II gun that they modded for original film.
If you can find that one, Lord.
Well, George probably bought them all. You can get the Mauser pistol that was the DL-44's.
Well, I mean like the actual one that they used.
The actual one that they modded.
Oh, gosh. Nope. Mm-mm. That's not happening.
It's probably in a museum somewhere and they don't even realize that it was used in Star Wars.
Or they bought it and it's in the
Or George bought all
archive.
Of them.
Yeah. It's in the props archive, you know, at Lucasfilm now or something.
Yeah. But yeah, like, it just show. I feel like throughout all the series, we keep coming back to the same situation. And it's not a bad situation to come back to, but we keep saying it pretty much in every single episode from us, is that they took the original trilogy and they made sure that they got pretty close to the same feel and timeline.
Yeah.
And that was intentional because this was so closely timed to Jedi. That's like, what, 3 years later after Jedi? So I think, right, three?
I think, right, it was three. I think it's always three or five. That's what.
Yeah, I thought it was three or five. I didn't think it was
seven. I
think
seven. It's five.
Seven's definitely wrong.
Yeah,
seven's either way, definitely it's wrong. Close. But seven's wrong. But I always, I don't know why we always forget.
It's five.
It's five. Okay.
Yeah.
So 5 years after Jedi, this is what's going on. And so like they just want to make sure that it feels like you could watch Jedi and then watch The Mandalorian. Sure. And you won't really skip a beat. It won't feel much different. And I love that. And like for me, that's why I love the series so much, is because I love the original trilogy. You guys probably know that. If you listen to Empire Radio, we go over all that stuff. Go check that out. But like we tear that apart on what's our favorite series and all that stuff. And
which movies we think half of them are trash.
Yeah.
Yep.
But anyways.
That was a wonderful moment.
That is gonna be a t-shirt one day for sure.
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah, so I just really appreciate like they're making sure that it feels like you're watching the original trilogy, and just the way they went through every single thing in this, and how every director majority of this was about the child and how he was a puppet. That was really cool. But I think we still need to mention IG-11.
Oh,
and how
yeah.
how they didn't really originally with that IG on a cart, I guess I would say.
Yeah.
Like IG on wheels, it was just this top half. Originally, that wasn't supposed to be in a lot of the shots, but mm-hmm. because it the lighting, they just wanted for a lighting effect to add yeah. over top of, I guess, a CG one or a fake one.
Well, no, they needed a lighting reference.
A reference, yeah, that's what yeah. it was. It, but then they kept a lot of the scenes because it was just so, it's so good, but.
This seems kind of weird to say, and a lot of you may think I'm crazy, but I would not want a replica of the child, but I would, in a perfect world where I had no debt and had money to just blow on stupid stuff, I would buy a life-size replica of IG-11.
I was going to say, we just talked about how you would not buy the child ever, but IG-11, that's fair.
Which seems a little, you would think, oh, that's probably going to be more scary waking up and going to the bathroom in the middle of the night. But I don't know. I really like him.
Why would you have him in the bathroom?
I wouldn't have him in the
bathroom. Don't judge him. Don't judge him, Jeremiah. But also, but remember, he's a caretaker now. So maybe yeah. he's there to help him. He's going to give him the towel after he washes his hands. You know?
Oh, yeah. And like, I could have a little tray of mints.
Yeah, exactly.
It would be
what
like
is
a
the
fancy,
name of those
bro,
guys?
I don't even know, but I know that it would be like a 5-star restaurant bathroom in my bathroom all the time.
I feel like the only one of us. Well, actually, I don't know. Would Jeremiah know what those names? What's the name of those guys? Not what, a custodian,
like a butler, a
concierge, not no, concierge. Bath, hold
a
on.
Bathroom
a attendant.
Is it? I think
I
it
don't
is
know.
A bathroom attendant.
Yeah.
That sounds about right.
Hold on.
Sorry, guys. We're poor, so we don't experience this, okay? So we have to look it up. Don't judge us. It's up to you to make us more money, so make
yeah,
sure you go buy our subscription. But yeah, what is it called?
It says a bathroom attendant, restroom attendant, toilet. I mean, it's just attendant, essentially.
Attendant, yeah.
Yeah.
Restroom attendant. But yeah, like I just mentioned, we're poor. So the only way to make sure that we experience a bathroom attendant that could potentially be IG-11 is if you go purchase the sponsorship of this video or this podcast. So Andrew, hit it.
Hey everyone, Andrew here. I'm pleased to tell you that the sponsor for today's episode is Wesley Andrews Coffee and Tea. If you don't know anything about Wesley Andrews, you definitely should. They're an award-winning coffee roaster and shop in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and they make fantastic coffee. The awesome thing is that they have a subscription service that gets those amazing coffee beans delivered to your door on an either weekly, bi-weekly, or a monthly basis. Unfortunately, we're all being negatively affected by this virus right now. But that being said, what a better time to try some new coffee and support a local business. I know they'll greatly appreciate it, and we will too. After all, using the code EMPIRERADIO with a capital E and a capital R with no space at checkout, when you start a new subscription at wesleyandrews.cc, you'll get 50% off your first purchase. I can't think of a better deal. Get 50% off, support a local Minneapolis coffee shop, and support your favorite Star Wars podcast. In the words of Emperor Palpatine, do it. Yeah, so you should totally do it.
Do it.
Get a subscription. I'm a subscriber. I love my coffee. And I would imagine that everybody else has. How many new ones did we get recently? Drew, you were saying something about that.
Yeah, so we got a couple new ones this week. So make sure, like, I think it was like 3 more new ones. We got to keep this train running. So if you like coffee, and you enjoy supporting us and you want to support us, please make sure you go do that. And like I said, I'm running out of stickers, which is a good thing, but also, make sure you are coming in fast with those, subscriptions. 'Cause I will slide a sticker in there. So,
yeah. And yeah. It's a sticker for the Mandalorian podcast, the podcast you're listening to, and it's a cool looking sticker. So just do
it. It's pretty dope. do it. But anyways, I feel like Jeremiah has been really quiet this episode. And so it might be because he thinks the first half of this episode is trash. Who knows?
Oh my gosh.
But Jeremiah, take it away.
It's because we talk too much. But yeah, oh. Jeremiah, I want to hear from you.
Well, you guys know how. So those of you who haven't tuned into our Empire Radio podcast, I am a very controversial person when it comes to Star Wars, apparently, to some. And so I guess I might as well be controversial again with this episode. But
okay.
I'll be honest. When they were showing those early sketches of how they wanted to do the Baby Yoda, I kind of like some of those other concept arts. And
you would.
I just think that, you know, that...
Oh, man.
I just think that, you know, all we've only seen Yoda and Yaddle before. And so we have a picture of what that species looks like. And so some of those other drawings and concepts were more wrinkly and they were kind of like more to what we've seen before.
Like their ears were closer?
Well, like rounder heads, like with like shorter ears. But like, mm-hmm. like Baby Yoda has really long ears. But
well, if you think about it,
hasn't grown
like,
into them yet.
Yeah, but if you think about it, you know, it could be kind of the same thing where like, you know how human ears never stop growing and they just constantly get bigger.
Yeah.
What if it's kind of? Did you not know that?
I was always hoping I was fake because I have big ears.
Well, that's the thing. That's why you see like. It's more common to look at an older person and be like, why are your ears so big? But anyways, maybe he starts with just abnormally large ears. And then
I did.
There's something. I don't really know where I'm going with this, but maybe there's like an ear thing. Maybe they
have to grow into them. That's what my mom always told me. And I still have not done it, but there's still hope.
Anyway, so I get what they had to do. They needed a cute rendering of a concept. Like they needed a cute baby. Like they can't have an ugly baby. But so I get it. But I just think some of those other renderings would have been more fitting to what we've seen from Yoda, as well as it might have been more fitting to like the Star Wars universe, because usually aliens aren't the cutest.
True.
But
also like looking at my child, his eyeball is literally bigger than his entire mouth. So I understand where you're kind of coming from, Jeremiah. But I don't know about you guys, but I love the fat rendering, the really fat one. I'm all for that, dude. So I hope Jeremiah, do you think they're going to go to potentially Yoda's planet?
Oh yeah,
air quotes.
Definitely, that's they've hinted at that the whole time the last episode they hinted at that he's like
the whole time just the last episode.
But like because what they said, you can raise the child as a Mandalorian, or you can return it to his people, and so he goes off to like go find his people, and so, I think that's what inevitably the show is going to end up with. And I'm really hoping that, you know, they take some of the concept art of these earlier renderings of the child and use them to make other models for when they arrive on that planet. They can say, oh, there's the same exact models that they used before and stuff like that.
Yeah. I if they do that, I really hope they use the fat one because I liked them. I thought it was pretty cool.
Just
go with it.
It's hey, never they
stop okay. fat shaming giant aliens. Okay.
Yes.
Whoa, 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 okay. whoa, 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 whoa. that is not where I was going with that. I was just gonna say before
you
that
prefer
took
your aliens really, cute.
No, it just before that took a really bad turn. I was gonna say that his species has been intentionally left
skinny?
Really ambiguous. No. Oh my gosh. Anyways, it doesn't matter. Anyways,
just kidding.
Jeremiah, continue. Please continue with what you thought.
Yeah, so I'm just because like the show is gonna end. Like I just believe that's what's gonna happen. They kind of have to do that. But you know, it's you can't have like a have them all look exactly the same. Like, because when you look at, you know, a Rodian, like, they all look the same. They some are different colors and stuff, but for the most part, they all look the same. Same with, like, a Twi'lek or Twi'lek, whatever you want to call them. Like, they're all very similar looking. But with these different renderings that they had.
So are people to a certain extent.
True. True, true.
But you could still tell people apart, though, very easily.
Yeah, well, do you think all aliens look the same, Jeremiah?
Of the same species, yeah.
Oh, boy. Controversial as ever.
All white people look the same?
You sound like you're from the Empire, Jeremiah.
And what if I am?
Oh, well, boy.
I mean, he definitely runs the Empire Radio. That's for sure.
But anyway.
Too far?
I just think it would be cool to have a variety of looks when it comes to when we arrive on this random planet that has all these Yodas on it.
You think so? Would you like support like one being just abnormally tall? Like you got normal Yoda and you got like a Shaq sized Yoda?
Yeah.
Every species has to have a Shaq.
It's like you guys haven't seen
nightmare fuel.
You guys haven't seen Star Wars Resistance when there's where they show a giant quaking monkey lizard the size of a gorilla. Like,
yeah, well, that's fine. But you know how weird it's going to look if, like, there's one Yoda that just hit a growth spurt really awkwardly when he was a teenager?
Probably has, like, weird as when Shaq walks around.
Yeah, but Shaq is Shaq, dude.
Yeah.
Like, it's normal to have tall people as humans, but, like, if the rest of Yoda and Yaddle are both super short. What if that's the norm? And then you've got like this 6'7" Yoda just towering above all the other ones.
Well, okay, first of all, like, why are you height shaming now?
Oh, Andrew, come on.
Height shaming? Oh, come on. I can't believe you, Andrew. But
I thought you were better than this.
Anyway, we should probably get back to the docuseries of the Mandalorian. So another detail that I thought I've heard before this docuseries was that Baby Yoda animatronic model, doll, whatever you want to call it, puppet, cost $5 million
to make.
Now, I just heard it. They didn't mention it here, but I thought that I heard that they spent $5 million making that.
Andrew, yeah, I'm not going to talk that up. No, I'm not going to talk anymore.
Bro, shut your mouth.
All right, we'll go a lot quicker then, I guess.
Hold on. Oh, wow. Dang. If there was an escape pod, I'd be in it. I'd be out, y'all.
Speaking of escape pods, did you guys see SpaceX? This is really random, but it's in space.
Oh, yeah, they launched some people into space.
Yeah.
Like the worst the baby time Yoda in puppet world's history.
But cost true. $5 million to make.
It did cost $5 million, Jeremiah.
Mm-hmm. Cool. I got a good memory.
That's so expensive for a puppet.
But anyway, what else did you guys have to say about the Yoda baby? Anything you want to add?
I didn't like that they called it baby.
Oh, yes, that was dumb.
That's kind of gross.
But...
And also, hasn't Jon Favreau, like, gotten on, like, fans for calling it Baby Yoda?
I thought that was Bob Iger.
Oh, maybe it's Bob.
Yeah, well,
But he's gone now, so.
Damn.
Well, no. He's in a better place. No.
He's not dead.
Oh.
He's in it. He's not dead. And two, he's in, like, an interim role. Like, he still has time on his contract left.
True. And it's COVID
and more,
time.
More importantly, he
probably extended that time. Let's be real.
And more importantly, he's not dead.
Yes, he's not. That's fake news. Fake news. I apologize if this is your first episode hearing us, you guys. We're normally not this crazy, but we've been all over the place.
Yeah,
it's been a long week for us.
Yeah.
In the world, so. If you're listening to this date, this is May 30th when we're recording and dropping this of 2020, and the world's kind of going nuts. So bear with us. Yeah. We're trying to bring some light into the world right now. So I hope you guys enjoy this. But anyways, I loved that they were talking about how they forgot that it wasn't real.
Oh yeah.
There's many times where the child,
and that is why you don't have one in a room that you can accidentally look at in the middle of the night when you're getting up to use the restroom.
Yeah, or behind you. And I do have one in my studio. And
anyways,
if I start screaming randomly, it's probably because it's walking towards me or riding my plushie Tauntaun. So, hey, speaking of Tauntauns, do you know what the temperature of inside a Tauntaun is, you guys?
Don't you do it again. Don't.
Lukewarm. That was a good one. I did not write that. You can go ahead. Anyone, you guys can say that joke. Pretty good.
Anyway,
that's so random, but I don't know about you guys. I feel like we covered a majority of this, and if we didn't, I apologize.
Any final thoughts from anyone?
I love practical effects, and I love that they're doing that in Star Wars.
Yep, me definitely. Too.
And it really does bring this smaller, like not super expensive production. It just shows you how much detail they did take on this Mandalorian show, and I do really appreciate it. I mean, they took so much detail that they're telling us how much detail they put into it, you know, in this series. So it's pretty cool.
But I mean,
what's next week episode? The name, do we know yet?
Do you have it, Jeremiah? I can look it up.
I think is it the Vision or the Visionary or something like that? I can't remember.
You want me to look it up?
I'm looking it up right now. One sec.
Oh, you can do that.
All right. Or visualization.
Visualization.
So I'm assuming this is more about like the writing the story and trying to take the practical technology cast, the legacy, and the directing and put it all together into like the vision. And then after that, it's the score. So we'll learn about the music. And then the last week is connections, which I don't know if that's going to be like references that they made to like previous works
or
of Star Wars.
Brought people together. I don't know.
Maybe.
Do you guys think we're going to get George at all in this talking?
No.
I don't know.
I really hope we do, but I kind of feel like we won't. But yeah, only 3 more episodes, you guys. Kind of sad.
Yep.
But anyways, I hope you guys are enjoying this. Andrew, did you have anything else before I cut you off earlier?
We've already mentioned this, but if you haven't already, you should go check out our social medias on Instagram and Facebook at The Empire Radio Podcast. You should definitely buy a coffee subscription if you enjoy coffee, because it's great and it really helps us continue to fund and what we're doing now and plan for the future so that we can take this to the next level for you guys. Also, if you haven't heard, there are 2 other podcasts that we do under the Empire Radio family, one of which is Empire Radio, the podcast, and the other is Clone Wars Saved, which was dedicated episode by episode to the final season of Clone Wars. We've wrapped that up, but it's still there. It's still on all of your podcast streaming methods, choices, devices. Whatever you want to, devices, yeah. So you can go back, watch an episode of The Clone Wars, listen to the commentary. It's kind of like in the special features of like a movie, when they have like a movie with the commentary, except they're not at the same time, but you can definitely go listen to an episode and then go listen to commentary about it. It's super fun. So go do that. Mm-hmm. Go check out Empire Radio. Empire Radio is just kind of the flagship podcast. It's everything about Star Wars.
It's a weekly podcast where we go over news, if there is any. We dabble and we just talk about Star Wars and Star Wars life and what we think of Star Wars. And we have really fun episodes of like what's our favorite series, like movies and scenes in the movies. And there's a bunch of the series. You go check them out. They're not all like, you don't need to listen to them in order necessarily. If you're just browsing, you're trying to catch up, pick some episodes here and there and enjoy it. Yeah, it's pretty dope.
Yeah, I mean, we've ranked the trilogies. We've ranked all the movies. We've ranked our favorite scenes. We have talked about our top 5 characters. We talked about our journeys with Star Wars. And then we have an ongoing series that we've introduced called Cantina Discussions, That will be kind of in and out, sprinkled throughout some of the other episodes. And those are dedicated to a question that is conceived by one of the three of us. The other two people have not heard it before the episode begins. And then everything that follows after the question is asked is all just raw, kind of unedited discussion. So those are really fun.
I think it's my turn this week, right?
It is. So this next episode,
I have a juicy one, you guys. So yeah. Make sure you tune in to our new episode of Empire Radio this week, and listen to it. You know, listen to it. Help your day go by faster and enjoy it.
Yeah, heck yeah.
Also, if you want to leave us a voicemail, you can leave us a voicemail on any of the devices, the streaming apps. There's a link below any of all of the streaming apps. So wherever you're listening to this, just slide down. Or up, depending if your phone is backwards or upside down, whatever way you prefer to hold your phone. I'm not judging you. Click that link and leave us a sweet voicemail, and we would love to hear your guys' thoughts, reviews, negative thoughts. If you guys want to throw some negative thoughts, we'll take them. So,
yeah.
And once again, the Andrews are talking, and Jeremiah is not saying a thing.
So. I'm still here.
But he's still here, folks. He is still here, so... All right, I think that's going to wrap up this episode of the Mandalorian Podcast. I've been Drew.
I'm Jeremiah.
And I am Andrew.
And may the Force be with you.
Always.